Welcome. And before we have prayer and get started, I'll just let you know, we're going to have a little introduction about what we're going to be doing. I'm going to explain some things, and then we're going to work together in groups. And I'll tell you some of the topics that we'll be talking about so you can group yourselves. I know this is difficult. When I work with teenagers, they have to do what I say. When I work with adults, it's another story. we tell them the same thing. Okay, yeah, very good. Some of you are more brave than me. This is what we're going to do. If you want to go ahead, I know everybody just sat down and maybe got comfortable, but group yourselves. And I know it's kind of hard to work in groups and pews because it's all laid out, so maybe four, maybe five people, and try to group yourself with people who might be around your age, your life experience. Group yourself with people who have a similar life experience to you. And I'll tell you why. Well, in a few moments, we're gonna be talking about some of the struggles and stuff that we have in life, and a little bit later we're gonna give you a handout that's got a list of those struggles. And so, you know, different groups struggle with different things. And we're going to let you choose which topics you want to look at, and I'll explain what we're going to do with that a little bit more. So if you're already in your groups, then that's wonderful. And we'll have a prayer and get started here as we begin. So if you want to shift around a little bit, make sure you're sitting with some people you can discuss things with. Meet somebody new or someone you don't normally talk with, that'll be great. Or yeah, maybe you can just turn around in the pews and discuss. Also, while we're simmering here, you're going to want to have something to write with. So if you want to go ahead and look for something to write with, maybe pull a hymnal out of the pew so you have it's a hard surface. So I'm going to give you some handouts here in a moment. And we will go from there. There you go. So, with that said, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and we will begin. Bow your heads with me, please. Heavenly Father, we pray for the forgiveness of our sins as we begin this afternoon. Lord, you know the struggles that we faced in life, and so I pray that you'll help us as we begin to look at the truth that is in Jesus, as we begin to look to see that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Help us to understand this in a way that's practical and meaningful. In your name we pray, amen. So, just a little recap of last night, and many of you were here this morning. Last night what we talked about is that there's a lot of worldviews and philosophies out there, and it really doesn't matter which worldview or philosophy you subscribe to. The bottom line is pretty much everybody agrees that there's brokenness in humanity. And your worldview or your philosophy probably provides some sort of answer to the world's problems. If you're pantheist, it's do better in life until you realize you're divine. If you're atheist, you're going to become dirt, so do what you can, discover what you can, make life what you can. While you're at it, your solution is your own. And if you're theist, we believe in a savior. And there's different views even within theism if we look at theistic religions. But basically everything can be kind of understood. Oh, thank you. Wonderful. Understood in those lives. If you need a pen, pastor's got some pens for you. And the idea is, and Heidi spoke about this morning, the title of the weekend is True North. And the idea in that is we believe, Jesus says, and we believe what he says, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And the verse that we looked at last night was in Romans chapter 1, and many of you have probably heard the verse before, but it says that men exchanged truth for a what? For a lie. So all these behaviors that we face in life that we're struggling with come out of believing the lie. And we want to find the solutions, but a lot of us are lost. And when you look at different philosophies around the world, a lot of them have self-help components. I mentioned George Knight last night. I was reading a book of his on education. And he also says something else in his book, because as I've worked with young people and in churches with seminars like this, I've struggled to get away from the self-help idea. I want you to understand that what we're talking about is not self-help. You might see that there's some principles that overlap, but the power in what we're going to talk about today, what we talked about last night, and what Heidi shared in her testimony this morning is that we're not talking about self-help, we're talking about conversion of the Holy Spirit. So what we're doing is we're looking at the Bible that's going to point us in the direction of Jesus, and that combined with the Spirit is going to bring conversion and freedom into our life. So I just want to make that distinction, because I've struggled with that distinction in my own teaching career and trying to help people understand that the principles that we're going to talk about, this is not self-help. This is conversion through the Holy Spirit. And we want to find what are the principles in the Bible and how can we come to that. So last night we talked about some of those things. We also talked about on the board here, I had two lists. I had a list here that said we listed the attributes of God. We listed the attributes of Satan. God is love, kind, merciful, gracious, right? And when we read in Ezekiel and Isaiah, it says that Satan wanted to be like God. Here's the key in that. It doesn't say Satan wanted to be a murderer and a thief and a destroyer of life. It says he wanted to be like God. But he did not want to obey God. In other words, he's the one that perpetuated the lie. And the result of believing the lie, the result of being one degree off in his compass, of turning away from what God had, was that he became who he is today. And as we look at those two lists, a lot of us want to be kind and loving and patient, right? But what happens is we end up with anger and bitterness and depression and anxiety and resentment. And the idea is, if we can begin to identify the lies in our life, the lies that Satan is telling us, we can begin to address the behavior. And I'll show you how we do that with a little. We use a tree as an example. So we have a tree up here, and the tree has a trunk, and then the tree has roots. Okay? So here's the idea. When we look at the behaviors in our life that we don't want, we might put, we'll say the behaviors are the fruit, right? So we have angerness or anger. You might be bitter. Might be addiction, and that addiction can cover a lot of different things, from video games to substance abuse, television, whatever it might be. People struggle with depression. We have anxiety. What else could we put? Pornography. Other things that people are struggling with, abuse. You might be struggling with abuse in your life, physical, sexual, verbal, mental, whatever it is, right? So these are, and obviously this list is not exhaustive, but these are some of the things that we struggle with in life. And here's what happens. A lot of times we address these issues in church or in our families or with our friends, and we're like, okay, yeah, well, you know what? Angerness is bad. Well, then stop. Right? You're like, I'm struggling with pornography. Oh, okay, well, don't look at it anymore. Oh, mind blown, right? You just changed my life. Obviously, a lot of times, it's kind of like, you know, when I was a kid, my parents used to lecture me, don't punch your brother in the face, you know? And it'd tell me all the reasons why it was wrong. It's like, I knew why it was wrong. I just wanted to do it, you know? My life wasn't changed because they, you know. Most of the time, we want to stop the negative things that are happening in our lives. Nobody wakes up in the morning, you know, and says, I want to be an abusive husband, an abusive parent, or, you know, I don't want my life to be wrecked through substance abuse or something like that. That's not what we wake up thinking. Well, maybe some people do. But the point is that somewhere in our choices, and our choices were based on a philosophy and a belief that we had, somewhere we made a choice that maybe might have just put us a degree or two off. And the result is, and this is what we talked about on a compass, if you're a degree off, the further you go being off, the further off course you get. Some of us have been further off course than others, but here's the beauty of it. It does not matter how far off course you've been, because all of us have gone off course to some degree. All have sinned, right? So the point is, it's not trying to figure out how far off course you are, it's how to get back on course. So that's what we're doing. We're going to let the Holy Spirit recalibrate our lives today. Because what happens is, as we struggle with these things, and this has been the struggle, I would be willing to bet with everybody in here, we've gone through what we call the cycle of sin and forgiveness, which means I don't want to do this anymore, so I ask for forgiveness, right? I'll put an F here for forgiveness. And let's say I'm struggling with, addiction with food, right? And so growing up, I'm 32, I still love Taco Bell. What am I saying? Okay? I love my mother, and I was like, what? She's like, no, it's true. All right? I'm being open. I'm being honest. That's what it is. But here's what happens. When do we struggle with the addiction? It's when we encounter hardship in our life, right? It's a coping mechanism. Young people today cope with video games. They cope with television. They cope with their cell phone. They cope with lots of different things, right? And so what happens is we feel bad for doing one of these behaviors, and we get on our knees and we ask for forgiveness. And I want you to understand that the Lord forgives you. But what happens is we get in this cycle, because the next day, Mom comes back and she gets angry at me again for not doing my homework. And so now I'm angry with Mom, and Mom and I just had a fight, so what do? I want to cope with the fight that I just had. So I return to the behavior, whatever it is, right? Then I go to Tom and say, that's it, I'm going to Taco Bell. All right? And we go and we deal with it, whatever it might be, right? And so then what happens? I went and I engaged in the behavior again, but now I feel what? Now I feel bad. Now I have guilt. We'll put a G there for guilt, right? Now I have guilt. So I ask for forgiveness, right? Or maybe I haven't even asked for forgiveness. Now I feel guilty for the behavior. Instead of asking for the forgiveness, because I feel guilty, I do more of the behavior. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then I get to feeling so guilty, I ask for forgiveness. But then I enter into a situation where it happens again, and so what do? I go back to the behavior, and here's what happens. We get stuck in what we call the cycle of sin and forgiveness. And by the way, this comes from, I forgot to cite this last night, Paul Conniff, Elder Paul Conniff. He has a ministry called Straight to the Heart. That's where these principles come from. It's a prayer ministry. Heidi and I went to a training, powerful ministry, but this is where we've taken some of this and adapted it with what we do. But what happens is we get stuck in the cycle of sin and forgiveness. I ask forgiveness, I engage in the behavior, I feel guilty, I engage in the behavior, and this is our cycle, right? And here's what happens. Satan's, he's a genius. What happens is I never find victory and freedom. That's the bottom line. And what's the gospel about? The gospel is about victory and freedom. And what happens is sometimes as a teacher, I've done damage because I tell a student, well, you just need to stop and let me give you a Bible study. I'm going to give you 5 verses and I want you to know that I'm right and this is what God says. You need to stop. Well, now what happens? Student now feels guilty. So because student feels guilty, student now engages in behavior. Are you see what's happening? Now, I want you to understand, as a teacher in high school, I have made this mistake. All right? As Sabbath school teachers and mentors and parents and whatever, we've all made this mistake. And maybe some haven't made it as much as them. Maybe some of you have experienced life in a way that's kept you from doing this as much. But what happens is we just try to pluck the fruit off the tree. Right? If I have an orange tree and I pick the oranges, next season, am I going to expect avocados? No. Nobody plants an orange tree, and when oranges show up, they're like, man, where's my cherries? It doesn't happen. What produces the fruit? What determines the fruit on the tree? The root does. This is what we talked about last night. This is important. The root is what determines what's on the tree, and the root of the behaviors in our lives are the lies that Satan tells us. It's the lies. He gets us to exchange the truth for a lie. And so what we did last night, and I'm going to go ahead and if I can get some people to help pass this out, if you maybe you didn't bring this, got a little sheet for you. How do you find somebody? And I'll explain this. We began to identify the lies in our lives that lead to the negative behaviors. If you weren't here last night, go ahead and raise your hand and we will get one. There's one for the women, one for the men. If we run out, we'll give you one. You can. It's a self-directed prayer that just says he or she. Doesn't really matter. Yeah. So, Heidi will be bringing the one around, I think, for the ladies, so she'll make her way around. If you didn't get one last night, we want you to see it right now as it's coming. Yeah, you can. If we have some extras, you can take another one. If you don't have the one you had last night. So if you'd like one, raise your hand. We'll see how many we have. And there we go. Oh, yeah, we have some over here. Yeah. Or if you're a second time and you want another one, that's great as well. Honey, Heidi, yeah, I think you missed one. All right, excellent. So here what you'll see is, it says step one and step two and step three. I don't have one in front of me, so I think I remember it though. On step one, which is the left-hand column, what you'll see is a list of lies. It says things like, I'm alone, I'm abandoned, why God, I have to perform or try harder, I have to be in control, I'm a failure, I can't trust anyone, I can't be forgiven, I'm just handpicking some here. The lie might be I have no needs in my life, or I'm superior to other people, my opinion superior. So Satan lies to us in the first person. But what happens is if I believe that I'm alone, and I believe this lie that Satan tells me, what happens then is I then engage in a behavior to cope with the what? To cope with the guilt or to cope with the lie, right? So in a young person, or they don't even have to be young. I know we always say young people like they're the only ones that struggle with life. All right? There's a lie right there. You know, it's like people are always like, man, come and talk to our young people. They need help. I'm like, you need help, you know? That's just the parents. The parents sit down and like, my child is whatever, and parent-teacher conferences, and I'm like, well, let me tell you why your child's what. Anyways. and their teachers whatever, too. So we're all struggling with this, the point that I'm making. But here's the thing. So we have these lies in our lives that cause behaviors. What the gospel does and what Jesus does, we looked at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, and the verses are there actually in the second column, Hebrews 2 and 4, you'll see there in step 2. And what those verses say is it says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we are, and he suffered so that he could aid those who are tempted. That's Hebrews 2, 17 through 18. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verses 14 through 18, it says, we have a faithful high priest. It says a similar thing, But it says who was tempted without what? Sin. And it's important here, there's a difference between temptation and sin, right? So he was tempted but without what? Sin. Therefore, we can come boldly before the throne of grace because he provides help in a time of need. So when I face the temptation, the idea here is, when I face temptation, can I look at the life of Christ and can I see that he has been tempted as I have been tempted in my life? So if I can connect my story to Christ's story, can I then better understand how he wants to help me and receive that aid? And the gospel, you know, it's a terrible thing and it's a wonderful thing. It's a terrible thing in that it promises freedom. And it's a wonderful thing because it promises freedom. And I'll tell you why I say, you're like, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. You're right, it doesn't, but here's why I say that. Because a lot of us haven't experienced freedom. And then the gospel becomes a burden. And we get stuck in the cycle of sin and forgiveness. So let me ask you this, in your own experience, if you've been stuck in the cycle of sin and forgiveness, what happens to our faith in the cycle of sin and forgiveness? It's lost. Right? I know this isn't, this was, I mean, this was my prayer. Lord, I know I wasn't raised like this. I know I shouldn't be engaging in this behavior. I know it's not good for me. Right? We've prayed that prayer, but we feel trapped. So the idea is we want to connect our story with Christ's story. To identify the lies, the roots, because if I can change the root, if I can exchange the lie for the truth, I'm going to change my fruit. Because that's what we want to change. We want to change the fruit in our life. And so that's why we connect the story with Jesus' story. And then you'll see in step four there, there's then a prayer where you can add those things in. And there's a pre-made prayer that you can, when we pray with people, we pray it through with them and they repeat. But you can do it on your own and you don't have to script it exactly like that. It's a template. But we begin to pray Christ's story into our story. And some of the things that you see, we'll look at the way that Jesus can identify with us is what we talked about last night. He was born to an unwed mother, right? You know, even still people today, like, oh yeah, you believe in a virgin birth? Yeah, right. People had that same issue in Jesus' time, right? Born to an unwed mother. So does he know what that's like, right? Does he know what it's like to not have an earthly father? Does he know what it's like to be a refugee? Does he know what it's like to be physically abused? Does he know what it's like to be mentally abused? Does he know what it's like to be abandoned by his friends? Does he know what it's like to be sexually assaulted? Wait a second. No, he wasn't. Yes, he was. Read the story of the cross. You understand what I'm saying? Stripped him naked. The people who should have been protecting him, the religious leaders, abused him. Is that a problem in the world today? Right? And I'm not talking about another denomination. You understand what I'm saying? You know, a few years ago, it's mandated now in our church, in our conference, that every elder and every single person that works with a child must go through a background check. There's a reason for that. You understand what I'm saying? And the point here is not to say how terrible the person is. The point here is that that person needs truth just as much as the person that they hurt needs truth, just as much as the Bible teacher standing in front of you needs truth. We're not minimizing sin, we're maximizing grace. That's Paul Conniff, the one who developed this. That's his quote right there. We're not minimizing sin, we're maximizing grace and what it can do and how it can change our lives. So that's the idea as we look at, that's what we talked about last night. This is how we begin to deal with it. Jesus went through these things. The other thing, as we look at the lies, this is actually, a lot of this is based off of something maybe you're familiar with. Where's my marker? It's in my pocket, where it always is. I like this whiteboard, by the way. Something they call it cognitive behavior therapy, to make it simple. We'll call it the ABCs, and actually we should put Ds. The ABCs and Ds of thinking. All right? It's very simple. We all know our ABCs, right? All right. A stands for activating event. All of us have activating events in our lives. Activating event. I came home and didn't do my homework. Mom got mad at me. Activating event, right? Activating event, my brother turned around and punched me in the gut. Activating event, my dad said I couldn't go out and go to a movie with my friends. Understand what I'm saying? Just things that happen in our life. When we have events that happen in our life, whatever happens, we have a belief about that event. Right? Or we also call it self-talk. It's the belief, it's the self-talk that happens. My brother punches me in the stomach. I say, oh, he can't do that. I'm so mad at him. He shouldn't do that. I respond by punching him. Right? My belief in the situation. And obviously, those actions are followed by, yes, followed by consequences. Mom comes in, gets the wooden spoon, and we both get it. All right? This is, I was sitting in a counseling class, and they were in California. If you spank a child anywhere other than their bottom with anything other than your hand, it's considered abuse. And I was sitting in the class, and everybody's like, oh, wow, that's amazing. And I raised my hand, and she's like, yes. And I was like, I was abused. I just want to, and I don't want to get into that, but, you know, I was like, anyway, I had another friend who wouldn't let it go because, anyway, but we had a good time with that. My parents loved me, and anyway, that's besides the point. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you watch this later or listen to the recording. I wasn't abused, by the way, just for the record. But here's the point. We have activating events, belief and self-talk, and consequences. So it can be as simple as this. You're walking around in church, you're walking around in school if you're a young person, and you see two people talking. As you get close to the two people, they stop talking. You walk by. After you've passed, they turn around and start talking again. What's our belief typically about the situation? Bingo. They're talking about me. What happens to the rest of my day? It's ruined. Maybe. I'm depressed. I'm anxious. I thought they liked me. You know, why does everybody talk about me? Right? Oh, see, now we've got somebody who's practicing cognitive behavior therapy. Right? Because the consequences are I don't feel good. However, there are other solutions. That's why we have a D here. The D is the dispute, which is what happened back here. It doesn't have to be that they're talking about you. Maybe they're just talking about something private. Do I deserve all the private information in the world? No. Now let me ask you this. If I saw that conversation as somebody having a private conversation, would that change the consequences? Absolutely, right? It changes the consequences completely. Listen, other people don't make you angry. You make you angry. Wait a second. Wait a second. And here's what I mean by that. What I mean by that is the self-talk, the thoughts that we have in situations, is what causes the behavior. That's where the consequences come from. And so what we want to do is we want to learn how to dispute the cognitive distortions, if you will, or in a simpler term, we want to learn to dispute the negative thoughts that we have, dispute the lies that you see here in the list, and we want to be able to think positively about the situation. Now, this doesn't mean, do I then lie to myself? This is what I hear from teenagers. Like, somebody gets upset because, I hear from adults too. And it's actually easier with kids because they have an excuse to act ridiculous. But all the time, people will turn and say, oh, you just don't worry about it. That's not helpful. Or they'll say things like, well, they're stupid anyways. Well, that's not helpful either, right? It doesn't help the situation. Or we lie to ourselves and we say, you know what? I don't care what they think anyway. Well, that's not true either, right? So it's not lying to ourselves or lying about the situation. It's being honest with ourselves, but changing our beliefs to say, hey, you know what? It hurts that they're talking about me. I don't like it, but it doesn't have to ruin my day. I have other friends that like me. Now, I can't go through every scenario that you might encounter in life. But this is the idea, as we look at this, is that we want to change our thinking. I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. I have a church family that loves me. And so this helps us, as we talk about this, to deal with some of the negative behaviors that we have in our life. So if you have a paper, I just want to give you a few minutes to take some time to, if you didn't do this last night, to look at it. And this is just for you. This isn't group work right here. But if you have one of these papers, take a moment right now and look at it and just check two or three of these. What are two or three lies in your life? Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I have yours. What are two or three lies that you have experienced in your life that have caused negative behaviors? You know, for me, pride, that's one of them. You know, it's not easy to stand up here and admit, you know, because now everybody's like, anytime I do something prideful, they're like, oh yeah, remember that guy up front? He said he struggled with pride. But, you know, that's what we do, right? Like, oh, I knew it. Thinking that we know better. So whatever it is, look at that list and just check. I'll just give you a minute here. Look through it. You might be thinking, I needed to check every single one. That might be. I can probably check every single one too. But what are the top ones? What's, you know, as we deal with this, it's like peeling back an onion. Deal with the first layer first, and then we'll continue in the process. So go through. What are some of the lies that you've struggled with? And if there's anybody that needs an extra. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's if we were to sit down and do this prayer together, that's part of the process. But since we're in a group, it's a little bit different. Yeah. Yeah. If you read, if you look down further in the prayer, step 4, 5, and 6, there's actually three specific prayers that we pray together. One is, let me look at it. Yeah. One is the prayer of blessing, which is, what are the words of encouragement that the Holy Spirit, so we pray the prayer and then we just sit silently and let the Holy Spirit give some words of encouragement. Sometimes it's a Bible verse, it's a favorite song, whatever. The next one is the warfare prayer. How are you going to protect me? And then how are you going to, when Satan's attacked, how are you going to help me? Sorry, it's not in this one. There's another one that is a prayer about continuing to reveal. This is just the introductory prayer. But there's another one that's specifically praying for continuing to reveal lies and stuff in our lives. Yeah. Once you've identified the lies, if you look in the right-hand column in step 3, go ahead and look at that list of the things that are in the ways that Jesus was tempted to believe the same kind of lies, and just check two or three of those that you might be able to identify with, that identify with the lies that you check. So if you checked something like, I'm alone, what in that next column in step 3, what might you see in there where Jesus might have been tempted to feel that he was alone? And obviously these lists are not comprehensive, and if you want, you can write something in there that you want, that maybe you're thinking like, oh, you know, maybe it's something, you know, somebody might be struggling with appetite. You know, I've been wanting to eat healthier. Well, what was the first recorded temptation of Jesus? It was the temptation of appetite, right? And so that's something to consider as well. It's not a comprehensive list. Most of that list focuses on what he experienced on the cross. And I encourage you to go through and read the story of Jesus and to see how that works. And if you look on there's other passages you can turn to. One of them is Isaiah 53, popular passage, the suffering servant. See how Jesus suffered. Did he struggle with body image? A lot of us struggle, young and old, with the way our bodies are. Was he anything special to look at? Not if you read Isaiah 53, right? So there's a lot of stuff in there that sometimes we don't think about or we don't miss. A lot of times what happens is we don't think about the mental anguish and struggle that Bible characters went through, right? Joseph. There's actually very few Bible characters. We probably have more examples of people screwing up than people that got it right. Joseph being the one, you think about it, kidnapped by his brothers, thrown in a pit, sold as a slave, accused of sexual assault, thrown in prison, forgotten about in prison. Now, we have the opportunity to read the end of the story. Like, oh yeah, but he became governor. Listen, there was a long time between becoming governor of Egypt and a lot of things that he had to deal with in his life. So that's a positive example of somebody who stuck to the truth, right? But then we have other people. Samson, did he believe the lies of Satan? Absolutely. David, did he believe the lies of Satan? Absolutely. Saul, did he believe the lies of Satan? Abraham. Did he believe the lies? That's a whole other study. Read Romans 4 sometimes. It says that... I'm not going to get too far into it. But read Romans 4 and then go back and read the story of Abraham. It's interesting what you'll find. He lacked, as I do. So Heidi's going to come up and share some testimonies about one testimony. Sorry, about him. Let me see if we can get a microphone here. Oh yeah, maybe. Oh, there's no one up there. Are these? Are these on?
Okay, that's great. I just wanted to share a personal testimony about this prayer that everyone's kind of looking over right now. The first time I was able to go through a process of, identifying some of the lies that were taking me off course in life, because obviously, I grew up as an Adventist. I understand the truth that we believe, but it doesn't mean that there aren't still lies in your life that are taking you off course, wherever you might be off. And so I first recognized some of the lies that I was dealing with when I went through this prayer session. I was in a group of, women who I didn't know. I had never met them before in my life. And we went through this process of prayer where I was able to look at that left side and identify some of those lies that were totally crippling my life. And they asked me at the beginning of the prayer session, "What do you want to pray about?" And so I said, "Well, I want to pray about my work because it's really stressful." And, so that's all I said. And then I started going through the prayer session and they said, "Why don't you check 2 to 3 of the lies, that you think the devil might be using in this situation that you find yourself in?" And so as I was looking through the list, right away I saw, I'm not good enough and I need to perform and try harder. And those were the lies that I could tell that were just crippling my life. Because it's interesting to see what lies can do. Maybe it didn't produce, you know, some behavior that others can see, but it changed my confidence with people. It changed my ability to lead effectively. It was changing the literal quality of my work just because I was believing that I wasn't good enough, or I was believing that I had to perform and try harder. And as I started to identify those lies, they asked me to read Isaiah 53. So I read through Isaiah 53, and the part that stuck out to me, if you want to turn there, the part that stuck out to me that was powerful in Isaiah 53 was in verse 2. Because one of the biggest stressors, and I'm going to be really vulnerable with you, one of the biggest stressors in my life, one of the reasons why my work was so stressful was because I was comparing myself with all these other workers that do the exact same thing that I do. And they had been in the experience much longer than I had. They had, you know, they were very effective at their work. And so I was constantly asking myself, you know, telling myself, I'm not good enough. I'm not as good as they are at what they're doing. And I need to perform and try harder. Those were the lies. And they were causing me to really not do well in my job and to experience a lot of stress. And so here I am reading Isaiah 53 in verse 2, and it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." And, it continues. It says, "He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." And the thought just hit me right there as I was reading that, that Jesus had to grow up too. It was just this mind-blowing experience to realize that it's okay. You know, I'm at the stage that I'm at, and God is continuing to help me to grow in my ministry, and Jesus had to grow up too. And I realized that Jesus went through that growing process so that he could identify with us in our processes of growth. And then I was starting to connect with how Jesus could have had the times where he was tempted to feel like he wasn't good enough, or like he had to perform and try harder, you know, these temptations that would have come to him. And I will tell you, after that prayer time, I literally experienced so much freedom just connecting, you know, with the truth and letting go of the lies in my life. And that was something that no one knew. Do you see what I'm saying? It wasn't pornography. It wasn't an eating addiction. It was something that no one knew. And so when we look at those behaviors, just realize it's so much broader than that, you know? It's what's going on in your heart and your mind that no one else may even know that God can set you free from, you know? And that's my testimony. Oh, I don't need this.
Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and then I'll explain to you what we'll do with the handout that I just gave you. As we keep these things in mind, especially the ABCs, you know, sometimes in our life, when it comes to truth, we're not upset at truth, we're upset with people. Right? And because we're upset with people, we then become upset with truth. So if you associate the Bible with, let's say, a father figure that's been abusive, that's a problem, right? And so it's hard to accept truth of a heavenly father when you have an earthly father that you've struggled with. And that goes, you know, even with people who might have, you know, kids complain all the time to me that they walked into church and, you know, somebody offended them because they asked them to take their earrings out or something like that, you know, and so they're bitter about it. And it could be a lot of different things. But the idea is that are we upset with truth or are we struggling with the lies? You understand? And that's something we need to begin to be able to differentiate in our lives. Am I upset with the way that God wants to heal me, or am I upset with the way that somebody tried to tell me that God wanted to heal me? And am I able to recognize that people in my life didn't do a good job at it? And am I willing to sit down and talk to the Holy Spirit and talk to Jesus and let the Holy Spirit bring that healing into my life? And I think that's something that we have to we have to address and we have to struggle with it. As I talk with people, the number one thing, as I've sat in classes and heard other educators and church members and board meetings or whatever, as they talk about their experience with the church or their experience in Adventism, as I listen to them talk about the negative things, the number one thing that I hear coming through is that they've been hurt. They're really not upset with the Bible. They're upset because they've been hurt. And the only way that I know how to deal with that hurt is to rebel against the system that I believe caused that hurt. And that's another thing that's very difficult for us to wrestle with, is that hurt, and to say, I am hurt, and this is why. Because I, even in my own life, you know, it's a hard thing to struggle with. If God is real, if Jesus is coming again, if the gospel is real, is the gospel something you've understood for yourself, or you've only understood because somebody else was trying to make you understand it? So these are some questions we have to ask ourselves about truth and about the Bible, why I might or might not be rejecting it, and am I willing to confront some of that hurt in my life? So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16. And the reason why I bring that up is because as I read this verse, there are certain words in Christianity that bring up negative emotions. And I'll use a four-letter word here, forgive me for using it, but one of those is obey. Right? If I use the word obey, my heart is immediately hardened. Right? Now, if I change that word and use the word faithful, all of a sudden I smile and it's nice. Oh yeah, faithful. It's the exact same thing, right? You know, nobody asks like, hey, are you conservative or are you liberal in your marriage? Does anybody ask that question? You're like, no. Most people, when you look at a marriage, you're just looking at, hey, they're faithful, right? And when you're faithful, you're obedient, because that's what protects a marriage. So as we look at this verse, I just want to keep some of those things in mind. So in chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable for what? That's another one of those words. I hear people, oh, the Bible doesn't have doctrine. Yes, it does. Stop this nonsense. I know doctrine is just a fancy way. You know, sometimes we use this educationese language. Doctrine is just a fancy way of saying teaching. The Bible has lots of teachings. If you use the word teaching, nobody has a problem with it. Right? If you use doctrine, people are like, I don't think dogma. You know? Same thing. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness. What I read here is that the Bible is profitable for healing in my life. But depending on my experience with the Bible and my church, it might be that the Bible is good for controlling my life. You see how the way we think helps us to interpret the Bible either correctly or incorrectly, right? I had a conversation the other day with somebody who said Jesus was against the religion of his day. And I said, I agree or disagree completely. And everybody said, what? No, he spoke out. Jesus was not against the religion of his day. Jesus was against the application of the religion of his day. There is a very large difference. Jesus was not against the law. He came to fulfill the what? What he was against was the application of the law. Maybe what I've struggled with in my life is how people have applied the Bible. Which is why it's important for me on my own to search the Scriptures. Right? So these are things that we need to continue to ask ourselves and wrestle with. So let's look at verse 17. It says, that the man of God may be what? Complete. Thoroughly equipped for every what? Good work. So the Bible is here for healing, to equip me to bring healing to other people. This is how I read this verse. that the teachings of the Bible are there so that I can be healed and so that I can then take that healing to other people. My church is here so that my church can teach people how they can be healed so they can then take that healing to other people. We had somebody who had a vision about an education system that should be developed so that it can bring healing to people and train them to bring healing to the world. This is what the Bible is good for. So, here's what we're going to do. I gave you a handout. It says Life Choices. What you're going to do in your groups, and if you came in late or you don't have a group, you can get with a group of people if you would like. If you don't have a handout, I'm sorry, I don't have any more, but try to get what you probably could do with only one in each group. But everybody has it. So what you'll see is life choices. First one, when I want to do the only things I want to do all of the time, and then you'll see we'll talk about the thoughts and beliefs. What thoughts or beliefs or self-talks may be behind my self-centered behavior? Where was Jesus tempted to believe the same kind of thoughts or lies, yet without sin? What does God's Word say the truth is? So we're going to address what we've been talking about here, and you can talk about it in your groups. There's several different examples here. You don't have to go through them all. You and your group can pick two or three, or maybe you'll spend the whole time talking about one. That's fine. There's several things, life choices that you can pick from. Drugs and alcohol, peer pressure, what you watch, what you play, getting involved or starting a ministry, thinking about a relationship, feeling guilty or struggling with sin, feeling depressed or anxiety. So there's different things that you can talk about in your group. And so we'll give you some time here. Get in your group, get with a group of people. If you're with your family and you're like, hey, maybe I don't want to have this conversation with my family. Of course, now that I said this, if you leave your family, they're going to know. My bad. But I understand that sometimes we don't want to have all these conversations with everybody. So get with somebody that you're comfortable with. You can look over the list. If you want to move around some more, that's okay. Get with somebody that you're comfortable with and go through these one, two, three, however many you want. Pick the ones you want to talk about and talk about what was my belief or self-talk or the lies in this. How is Jesus tempted in the same way? And then what does the Bible have to say about this particular life choice? And we'll give you several minutes here, you know, 15, 20 minutes or so. And then we'll come back together and we'll give some time for people to share what they found, what they discovered, or what they thought was important. Ready, set, go.
All right, take about 5 more minutes. It's your 5-minute warning, and then we will wrap it up.
All right, go ahead and bring your conversations to a close. We'll give you 30 more seconds to wrap up your conversation. So, we want to take a few minutes here as we wrap up to give you the opportunity to share maybe something you or your group realized in this time that you had. So, can I get somebody to take a microphone around? You? All right, bud, come here. All right, now Brian's going to help you. So, here.
All right, when someone puts their hand up, you take them the microphone, okay? You got it?
All right. So, if you would like to share something that your group talked about or that you realized in your group, Xander's going to bring you the microphone, and we'll give you just... Xander, right?
Did I get that right? Yeah.
And we'll give you just a moment or two to kind of share something you learned or something that you thought was neat that you talked about in your group.
No. All right, yeah. Let's go over there.
We chose when I'm choosing what I want to watch, play, see, or read. And what thoughts, beliefs, self-talk, lies may be leading to my choices. The main one we kept coming back to was, this really won't affect me. It won't influence me, the false ideas that I hear or see. Well, I know that's wrong, but, you know, I'll just watch it anyway.
Yeah.
And then as far as Jesus being tempted with the same things, he did spend time with sinners. That's who he came to be with. And he could have been tempted to, quotes, go along with various behaviors in order to win them. And then we looked up the verses about what everything's are true, and then turning our eyes from looking at worthless things and making a covenant with our eyes. And so, praise God for the word.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you for sharing. Someone else?
Do you want to share something? Let's
see. Any other hands? Now, Xander can't get to everybody all at once. One at a time.
Yeah, one at a time.
It could just be something, a realization, something you talked about. You don't have to share the whole thing. We got one? Oh, no, he's just leaving.
No, I'm just walking around. We might have to just give somebody the mic.
Oh, they're in the back, Xander.
Oh, way back here, Xander.
Okay.
Well, we decided to do the very last one, feeling depression and experiencing anxiety. And in our discussion, we thought of some of the lies. One of them might be you had a goal that you couldn't meet, or you didn't meet, and you say, well, it's too late in life, I'll never meet that goal. So that can cause depression or anxiety. Nobody to help you. Nobody to help me through this. Trusting in my own strength. So those are some of the lies. And then some of the things we thought about Jesus was how he went through Gethsemane. His humanity shrunk from going through the cross. But he decided to follow God. And then he was tempted by Satan to take the easy way out and just bow down to Satan and not have to go through all the trouble. Let's see. And then he said, no one to help you. We thought how when he, even on the cross, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So he even thought God wasn't there with him. And so.
Yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, he was, and his very identity was attacked while he was on the cross. So thank you for sharing. Someone else? Oh, I got voluntold.
We got to talk about peer pressure, and the main thing that we found out about peer pressure is that most of the time there's a lie that is based upon, you know, peer pressure. Like, most of the time we think that maybe when we don't do what the majority of the people around us are doing, we will be alone, or we will be the odd one out, and that's a lie that the devil uses to make us do something that we're not supposed to do. So the lie right there is the main thing that Satan uses to make people do what they're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your group. Where's your group?
All right, we got one up here.
Over here. Okay.
Thank you.
We wrote being right, or the feeling that if I'm right, you have to be wrong.
Oh, okay, yeah. Which one was that for?
For the first one, when I want to do only the things I want to do all the time. And once you go right, you can't go left. Another feeling was, if everyone is looking at me when I'm doing stuff, it must be because I'm spiritual. I must be spiritually superior. Where was Jesus tempted to believe the same thoughts, lies that I have, yet without sin? Well, at the cross, obviously, he probably had the thought, these are very ungrateful and unworthy individuals. Wow. Look at all the disciples. It's like someone pulled the fire alarm and they just escaped. Evacuate the building. And so he was left alone at the cross. When he was very hungry after 40 days, he one of the temptations was to turn stones into bread. And being hungry is a big thing. The appetite is actually a big struggle to a lot of people. Appetite. Whatever type of weight you have, there's, even if you're skinny, you still like chocolate.
Yeah. Amen. All right.
So these are the things. One of the verses, Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through selfishness or selfish ambitions. Let each esteem others highly than ourselves. I remember one of the guys, not in this group, years ago, he said, well, that sermon, he was pinpointing all the things that were wrong with the sermon. And I was thinking, and I told him, you know, one of the things, you got to be humble. Yeah. Because it's one of the prerequisites to learn. Mm-hmm. You can learn something from everyone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We mentioned some families that if, let's say, little boy here wants to play, but I want to do my own thing, and she wants to do her own thing, and they want to do their own thing. So now everybody is miserable. It causes division, and everybody splits, and everyone is doing their own thing. But if we try to be unselfish and say, you know what, let's play cards for 10 minutes just to please him, it brings the whole family together. Yeah. And it brings, and now we're bringing joy to the little boy. Mm-hmm. And conversely, you have to leave the cell phone and TVs, all these stuff that we like.
Practical things.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I encourage you as, thanks, fellas. Xander, you did a great job. Oh, you want to share, Xander?
Yeah,
what did you learn?
So I learned that Jesus died on the cross when we weren't there.
Yeah, he did. He died on the cross and we weren't there.
And he saved our lives from Satan.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the greatest realization I think you can come to, my friend. Thank you. I encourage you, as you continue in your walk and in your understanding, to continue to take a look at this idea of God's grace and how, you know, Heidi talked about it this morning. Nobody took his life, but he gave it. He came to suffer. It's not just that he came to die, but he came to suffer. That's what Hebrew tells us. He came and he suffered so that he could identify with us. That's, you know, a book that I recommend, Paul Conniff, the one that came up with these ideas. He writes a book called The Hidden Half of the Gospel. And the premise of his book, The Hidden Half of the Gospel, is actually the suffering of Jesus and how he did it to connect with our suffering. And so I think a lot of these things are good for our families. It's good for myself. It's good for me to practice with my students, to have these open conversations. And again, not to say that sin is okay, because it's obviously not. But to focus on the solution instead of the problem. That he suffered so that he could identify with my suffering. So he could identify with your suffering. And so as you take some time to get to know him, think about how does your story, how does the struggle that you have connect with the struggles and the suffering that Jesus had, and how does he want to help you overcome the struggle and the temptations that you're facing so that you can find true north, so that you can accomplish everything that he has for you. So Heidi's going to come up and do one last activity, and then I think we're going to do some outreach.
Can you help me pass these up?
Absolutely.
Okay. Maybe someone else can help him too. But I have, everybody gets one note card. And so from our discussion time today, if there was a verse that stuck out to you that you want to keep in front of you throughout the week, maybe it's something you want to put in your car to remind yourself of the truth that you're replacing a lie with in your brain. Maybe it's a verse that stood out while you were in small groups. Write it down on this card and take it with you. I think there's something powerful in putting the Word of God in places where we can visibly see it throughout the week. And so that's what this card idea is for, so that you can actually take one of those cards. You know, maybe you'll keep it in your bathroom where every morning, you know, you can remind yourself of that truth, whatever it is for you that you need to remind yourself of. Maybe it's one of those verses. I know a verse that really stood out to me today was Isaiah 26:3. Again, realizing that God can keep us in perfect peace when our minds are stayed on him because we trust in him. And so if there's a verse that stuck out to you today, just take the next minute to write it down on that card and decide where you're going to put this. Maybe it'll be in your car. You'll see it every time, you know, you turn your car on right there. Maybe it'll be in your bathroom, maybe in your kitchen, a place that you go to every single day so that you can see it and you can remember that truth. Because like it says in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we can live our lives. And we can live above the doubt and the worry and the fear. We can live above all the deception, and we can keep our mind stayed on him. So I'll just give you a moment or two to write that down. Think about the verse you want to use. You need a card? Yes, that's another thing. So you can also, if you want it on your phone, take a picture of it, put it as your background for your phone. That's an excellent idea. I do that all the time. All right. Do you guys need a little more time? Yeah? A few more seconds? Okay. I'll give you a few more seconds to write down your verse. Just to close out this session, we're just going to close with a word of prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to apply that word to our lives and to give us freedom. Thankfully, no matter what it is, whether it's emotional or intellectual, God's word gives us freedom. And it helps us to understand that God is a God of love, and that God does have a plan for us, and he is willing to give us peace in the middle of anxiety or any of the things that we can struggle with or that we can face. And so I'm thankful for that. Let's just close with a word of prayer, and then we're going to transition into something else that you're welcome to partake in. I'll share what we're going to do next, and for those who are interested, you can come join us here in the front and over here. We'll have a quick, brief orientation and then move into it. But let's close with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for coming to this earth to suffer, to identify with us. We thank you for being a God who truly does understand the situations that we find ourselves faced with. And we thank you that you're a God of truth, that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that we can come and find our way back to God through you. Lord, I just want to pray that your Holy Spirit would apply this truth to our hearts and that you would help us, Lord, to keep our thoughts focused on you, focused on your word, focused on your truth, and that it would give us freedom from the other things that it could be focused on. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer, for we all pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.